Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week. And it's the new year starting off so fast and so wonderful. And I hope everybody's doing well out there. And today we have, I'm so excited, we're going to have a very, very interesting show today. And it's to help divorced dads out there, also divorced moms. I mean, we all go through it and with divorce, and helping the children too, because it's not anything anybody wants to really talk about or anybody wants to happen. You go walk down the aisle, go get married and figure, well, this is it for life, right? And then you have children and hoping that's for life too, and things change. And it doesn't have to be the end all. It can still be a wonderful, wonderful life. So we're going to dig in the whole hour and not even have any breaks today. So the divorced dads, and Tim Martin's going to join us. There's a story that was written that is so amazing. I think everybody should get it. Very insightful. It's about a book called Dad, If You Died, Would We Have to Tell People? And we'll get to where that comes from in a little bit. Dad, if you died, would we have to tell people? Benjamin Lee Todd was married and divorced twice, which had been a source of incredible sorrow for him. However, his second marriage produced two children, Ellie and Joe, who are the source of his greatest joy. A born and raised Midwesterner, Ben makes his home in Southern California to be near his kids, who are a constant source of inspiration for his writing. His humorous and insightful take on the relationships that he has with Ellie and Joe and the special family unit they've created is what gives Ben his unique point of view as a writer. There's lots of great advice to come. So today we're going to meet Tim Martin, the real father who was on a mission to help divorced dads with the initial pain and struggle to be able to turn it around and love your life with your children, whether you're with them full-time, part-time, or even at a distance. Without further ado, I'd like to welcome Tim Martin. Hey, Tim.
Hey, how you doing, Natalie?
Great. Thank you so much for coming on today. This is really exciting.
It is for me, too. I appreciate it.
We have so many people with us with a show in real estate, you know, that there's a lot of agents and brokers that listen in, sellers, buyers, the general public, and this is such a touching subject, and I think the way that you've the way that you put everything together, it's so inspiring to help people and give really great advice. Tell us, we're going to get into your book in a little bit and dig in and also give our listeners some advice. But tell us about your history. You said you were married twice, because I'm going to tell people you're Tim Martin and you're actually the real dad, right? So tell
That's
us
right.
about your
yeah,
history.
I wrote it under Ben Todd just simply to protect my kids. I don't think we thought we'd have to worry about that. But, I've been divorced twice, and that's nothing that I expected to happen in my life when I grew up. I certainly didn't expect to be divorced. I come from a family. My parents are both gone now, but they were very good role models of how a marriage should work, and I never thought this would be I'd be in a situation. But, you know, things happen. My first marriage lasted about a year, and there was some very bad circumstances in there that I had nothing to do with. We found out a little bit that she had some major things happened to her in her past, and when they came up, it just made it that we weren't really able to be married. She wasn't really able to be married to me, and it just, that was a very sad situation. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I was married to her for about a year and a half, and I was at a, we were at my aunt's funeral, and we had to drive 500 miles to get there, and on the way back, she said, you know, Tim, I just don't think this is going to work. And that wasn't a surprise. I mean, it was a surprise. But from that point on, it was just a matter of going through what has to happen to get the divorce happen. And then I became a divorced guy, which I didn't have a whole lot of problems with. You know, I lived my life. I had fun. I did sports things. I worked. Things were good. And I kind of decided that I was not really looking to get married again. Well,
so many say that.
That was a, sorry. Yeah. Well, at the same time as I said that, computers came into play, and household computers. And I was working with American Express at the time, and my company got me a computer. I was working out of my house, and they came and they delivered it and set up everything. I didn't know anything about computers at the time. And a buddy came over and he said, "Hey, you know, if you want to have some fun, you can go into AOL and you can talk to people." And I said, "Really?" So I went in and I started doing that. And that's how I met my second wife, was in AOL chat room.
Through a chat? Wow, really?
Through a chat room, yeah. And I always say that my kids are probably the first AOL babies, maybe, or something like that. But yeah, so we met. And that actually, yeah, it was a good way to meet. I meet her. The divorce has nothing to do with the way I met her. But yeah, we would talk back and forth quite a bit, and we just got to know each other. And she lived far away. I went and to visit her, and we got married. And eventually, then we had two kids, and that's where the fun starts. But when my second child, who is Joe, when he was just one. My second wife said that it was time to go, and so.
How long were you married?
We had been married 10 years, and I had gone to an attorney because I knew it was going to happen, and they said, "Well, you know, if you want to know if she's filed, you can go on a webpage and you can check it out to see if she's filed." So I went on a webpage one day, and she had filed, and a few days later, then she told me, so I was a little bit prepared, and. Then I had to move out, and that was, like, really, really tough.
I don't know.
Because I was really worried about what my kids were going to think of. I had had some time beforehand to prepare. And in that preparation, my mom's child was only one. I wasn't really, you know, I did everything I could with him. But my three-year-old, I spent a lot of time with her because I wanted her to really know and love me even when I moved out. So, because I, at that time, and this is what I'd really like to tell dads that are in that situation, you think your kids aren't going to love you anymore when you move out. You think it's, and people told me, you know, it'll be okay, but I really didn't believe it. I thought it was going to, you know, my kids would hate me and things were over. And so I moved out, but I never missed a time to see them. Anytime that it was my weekend or my day, I would go see them. And we grew into having some really good relationships. And what happened was I was living away from all my family and friends. And so I would start to write stories on Facebook about my kids. And the stories were actually conversations we had. I just would write the conversations down. I'd add a little bit here and there. And I end up, the book actually has about 170 of these conversations in them. And that's, you know, when we got to be around 50, 60, somewhere around there, 48 is what I put in the book. Some people start to say, you know, really, you should think about writing a book. So one person in particular who became my editor, she became my editor, and we wrote the book together. And that's how the book came about. That's where I'm at. And so my mission now, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ashley.
No, it's such a great idea and so great to do this, and it's so real. It's so all your and having the stories makes it that much better for people to connect with you, connect with the book. So go ahead. Your mission is to help.
Oh, no, my mission, I mean, I'm still writing. And what I'm trying to write now is something to help dads know, and moms too, to know that when it ends, that the kids, as long as you put them first and really put them first and think of them in all your decisions, that it's going to be okay. With me and my ex-wife, we really don't argue anymore anyway, but we never argue in front of the kid. And the times we were together, we're together, and we just make it work. But it's because we put the kids first. One time we were sitting somewhere together, and somebody came up, and we were actually running taking money for something, and somebody came up, and you know, they thought we were married, and we said, no, we're divorced. They said, well, how can you be sitting next to each other? And we both at the same time said, it's for the kids. I mean, they're just, that's the way it is.
Really?
And, yeah. Yeah. And then,
but you've been able to be friends. Lots of times, people say they're better friends after the divorce. Or
I would not say that about us. But what I will say is, it's not that we're bad. It's not that we don't get along. But it's just that we choose to have kind of gone different ways. But whenever we are together, we get along. But we're not really. In other words, I wouldn't call her up and ask her to go out to dinner, or I wouldn't call her up to tell her what's going on. But I will say that there was a time that I was in the emergency room, and she came and just sat there with me. And there, and I thought, man, you know, she didn't have to do that at all. And that impressed me a lot that she would do that. So that's the way we operate.
That's great. Yeah, how long were you all together before you got married?
Before we got married, it would have been 2 years. 2 years. Mm-hmm. She did a lot of traveling. We lived in different states. And so when she would go to one of her clients' wives, she would stop, and that's how we got to know each other. And then we were married for 10 years.
So. That's a long
story. That's pretty much my story. And yeah, but I really decided to make it about the kids. And once that became my mission, to be about the kids, then it really all kind of made sense. And the kids, you know, in the past, I actually apologized to Tori a while back for the divorce. She said, you know, Dad, it happens. It's just the way it is. And I apologized to Joe. And Joe said, well, yep, that's the way it is. You know, Tori's my nickname. Tori's my nickname for Ellie. So I might go back and forth on that. So anyhow.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
that sounds really good. One of the things you had that really sparked your title, too, is that every so often the topic of death comes up with my kids. I always say the same thing. Guys, if I died, you would be very sad. I know that. But you would have your mom, your grandma, your uncles. Then I changed the subject. So how did that go? The other day the conversation with 12-year-old Ellie took an unexpected turn. I started coughing. Are you going to die? No, I'm okay. Dad, if you die, Ellie, if I died, it would be very sad. But, and then, no, I know all that, but if you died, would we have to report it right away? That's adorable. And you put, I don't understand. When you die, we have to tell people, right? Well, Ellie, I don't know what you're asking. Explain exactly what you mean. Not a smile on her face. Would we have to report it right away? Or could I use your credit card a while and then report it? Okay, tell us that one. This is a great story. And this is what prompted your title, huh?
No, and that's the story. And that's really who Ellie is. I mean, she's always thinking. She has a great sense of humor. But she, by that time, there was a time period when whenever we would go out to eat or whatever, she would want to pay. And I was paid by credit card, so I would just handle the card. So she took care of that. I mean, she would go up and take care of it. She would know when they came, when she'd take the bill and sign for it and everything. I mean, I was teaching her how to do things like that.
Uh-huh.
And so she really knew about the credit card. And somehow she put together, she just kind of wondered, you know, would she be able to use it for a while without having to report it? So she asked me that. And it was a serious question. It was a serious question. She wanted to know.
Yeah. Oh, that's too funny.
Yeah.
That's too funny.
But that's,
and what did Dad say?
What did Dad? Dad said, no, actually, you would have to report it. And because, after I quit laughing, I said, no, Ellie, you have to report it right away. That wouldn't work out. But I mean,
I just laughed.
And, yeah. Oh no.
I love it.
We have great conversations, all three of us. Yeah. See, our time, most of our time as we were growing up was spent in the car, going places. And so I actually call myself full-time mobile dad. And that's because,
that's funny.
You know, when they need me, I'm there. Yeah.
So, and you've stayed in California to be close with your children, right? Do you recommend that
that's right.
the divorce situations, that it's better if they stay there? Or, I mean, what is your feeling on that?
Well, I will not move away from my kids until Joe's out of high school, and then we'll see what I want to do at that point. But I wouldn't even consider. I mean, I've had different opportunities, and I won't go. You're their dad. I mean, whether you're divorced or not,
right.
you're their dad. And I remember I was going through a class when I was still trying to save the marriage, but I knew it wasn't going to work. But I was talking to the guy, and he said, no, he said, you're still their dad. He said, don't worry about it. He said, you will still be their dad. He said, I'm not sure how that works, but you will still be their dad. And I would suggest really trying to make the marriage work. But if it doesn't
right.
work, and do end up getting divorced, I mean, if that's where you're at, just be the dad. Just be the dad. And yeah, and they'll be your kids.
I know with my son's a lot older, and I've always been so close, I couldn't imagine being away from him even now. It's so funny.
Yeah.
Because I know it's just been the best part of my life has actually been raising my son, I have to say. That's been the best part.
Yeah.
But you know. Yeah. That's really awesome. Nowadays with FaceTime and the computers and everything, people luckily can connect if for some reason, say, one person has a job in an area that doesn't allow it, right? Or if they're able to change their jobs or work it out, it's probably the best thing as well, right?
I do FaceTime with my kids. I mean, I live like, 5 miles from them. But that's another way of, and yeah, if you can't, I guess what I would say is just make sure you stay in their lives. If you have to, move away, and there are times when you have to, or if the spouse, you know, if you're, the mom takes them or whatever, and you're away from
right.
them, just make sure you're in their life. And they want you there. They do want you there. That's the thing. See, when I first left, I assumed that they wouldn't even want me. You know, that's, you know,
you were thinking that?
I was going through my depression. Yeah, I mean, oh, they won't even want me. And they do.
Right.
They want you. I mean, the first time they saw me, I mean, you know, I mean, they ran to me and
wow.
and oh yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, once you get over that, and the other thing that's interesting is that if we'd have stayed married, then we'd have had a different relationship than I'd have a different relationship with my kids than I do now, because now it's just me and them, and because of that, the dynamics are there that when they do something, I'm paying attention. It's not a matter of
right.
of my wife paying attention, me not paying attention. I mean, I'm focused on them, and they're focused on me. And then when they're with their mom, you know, they're all three are focused together. So it's interesting
really,
how
it's
different. Yeah, it's different, but it can be good. I mean, that part of it can be good because I really focus. And then the other thing is, when they get on my nerves, I can take them home. I mean, that's not bad either. So, yeah.
But your time, you have really good quality time with them. I think that's something
right.
that all parents should really make an effort to have quality time, whether they're with their children or not with their children, you know? I mean, whether they live with them full-time or not, because that quality
yeah.
time is so special, too, to have that undivided
yeah.
attention. Yeah.
Yeah, and I hope that dads who find themselves in a situation where they're not living in the house anymore, that you know, it's going to be really sad at the beginning. I mean, I cried and cried and cried. But once you get over that, and it will get better, and it gets better if you want it to. And there was one time I was sitting in the park, and I thought, kids were playing somewhere, and I thought, you know, the marriage, I couldn't make the marriage work. But I learned some things in the counseling I went to, that if I applied that to my kids, the relationship with my kids, it would really work. And so I did, and that made a difference. And that's just, I really treat them with respect. Because if I want them to treat me with respect, I need to treat them with respect. It's a two-way street. And I always put them
absolutely.
First.
Absolutely. Do you recommend counseling for everybody, really? Do I recommend counseling probably for everybody to kind of get a be able to walk through the steps, and I'm sure there's a lot to learn through counseling as well.
Well, in my situation, like I went to counseling for marriage counseling, but the counseling I was actually going to was for separation counseling. I was through church.
Okay.
And, my ex-wife did not want to go to counseling, so we never did that. But, yeah, if you can get your spouse to go to counseling, yeah, go, definitely go. And even through the divorce and family, whatever, or just talk it out with somebody. Just don't keep it built up inside yourself, because it's the nights that you're alone and, thinking and being sad. Those are nights that aren't good for you. Get out and just go talk to somebody. And I had a good friend, as far as for myself, not with the kids. She said, just go somewhere, just go do something. So I would go sit, because I really didn't want to talk to people. I went and sat in a bar, but I wasn't looking to talk to people. I was looking just to be around people. So I did that for a while. I mean, I'd go a few times, and then I started talking to people, and that's when I got back into being normal instead of just sitting home and being upset.
So, yeah. Kind of getting through that depression, getting through the next step, huh?
Yeah.
Your book has so many stories in there. There's talking about, hey, Dad, look what Mom and Ellie got me for my birthday. And he holds up, Joe said, hey, Dad, look what Mom, and he holds up what looks like a phone.
Ellie really didn't like the fact that he would get a phone before she would. He just didn't like that. Before the age she got hers. Because I think she had, I think it was 10
right.
that her mom.
And,
this is a good decision by her mom. Whatever. But so he got this thing before he was 10. And so, he got a phone. And Ellie said, no, it's not a phone. It's an iPod. And I said, okay. I said, it really doesn't matter what we call it. And she said, no, it does. Because it's an iPod. And I said, Tori, it really doesn't matter. And, let's just call it a hammer. so we just call it a hammer. So then 5 minutes later, my phone rang. And Joe says, hey, Dad, answer your hammer. So
excellent. Great sense of humor there.
Joe is the one thing I've learned. And tell me if I'm going off the subject too much. But the one thing I've really learned.
No, this is great.
My kids, and actually I learned this from my dad. I had a friend who was at our house, and he had kids, and he was saying, he was having a little trouble with them. And my dad said to him, and I just was listening, he said, you got to remember that your kids are different, and you can't treat them the same. And that has really helped me to deal with Joe and Ellie, because Ellie's she goes after life. I mean, there's a story where I was saying I was doing something to be healthy, and I said, you should really do this too. And she said, she sat and thought for a second. She said, Dad, I think I'd rather have a short adventurous life. And I said, okay.
Oh no.
She goes after life. I mean, she goes after life, and Joe lets life happen and then just really enjoys it. And both of them. Both of them are right. So when I talk to Joe, I have to remember I'm talking to that personality. And when I'm talking to Ellie, I have to remember I'm talking to that personality. They're totally different.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
That's so exciting that they're so different. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they are. And they take care of each other. Ellie will order stuff for Joe, and he lets her. In the restaurant, and he'll just say, "Hey, you know what I want?" And so she's a good big sister. I mean, they fight and everything, but she's a good big sister. And yet, then he's there protecting her too. I remember yelling at her in the car for something, and before she could get back to me, Joe said, "Hey, you don't do that." And I thought it was really funny. So it's good. Yeah.
Really good.
Oh yeah,
that's perfect.
He Yeah, no, he said, he reminded me of something. I can't really think of the whole thing, but what I do remember is he reminded me of something I had said earlier. And he said, you can't do that. And he was right, whatever it was, I can't remember.
It's really nice when they when we hear them come back and say what we things we see us in them, and that they've learned what we teach them, and that's so
What do you think about
how old are they now?
Right now they're 15 and 12.
Now, don't you think that do you agree that the time has flown by?
Oh yeah, when I was when they were like 2 years old, 3 years old, I was listening to a sermon, and the guy said, and I blinked, and my daughter was 18 years old. And I thought, yeah, right. You know, I mean, I didn't make fun. I mean, I just thought, mm-hmm. not that, and it, but it does. I had no idea how time goes until I had kids. I mean, it just goes. Yeah, it seems like I turn around, they're starting another year of school.
I know, it's flies by.
It's amazing how fast it goes.
My baby's already 40, so I'm like, I can't believe it. You know what I mean? It's flown by, and I mean, it's just unbelievably how fast it's gone by, you know?
Yeah.
And, it's been interesting. So you got, there's a lot of great reviews. Now, people can get your book on Amazon.com, of course, and it's Dad, right. If You Died, Would We Have to Tell People? Ryan O. said, Benjamin Lee Todd's stories are frequently funny, often heartwarming, and sometimes painfully relatable. This charming collection of dad antidotes and kids say the darnest things exchanges is a great escape in a modern father's shoes, and I'm already looking forward to the next volume. So you going to do another volume?
I'm working on the next volume now. I am. And it's interesting because I didn't write for a little while, and then all of a sudden I realized I need to start writing again. So I have been starting writing. I'm at the stage now where I'm just writing anything, and then we'll see what type of book comes out of it. But what's different with the kids now is that because they have their technology, because they have their phones and so forth, I have to work to have the conversations with them I didn't have to work with before. And that's that.
And it because they're preoccupied?
Because they're preoccupied with their phones, yeah. In other words, I have to ask them to get if they were going somewhere, they're going to be on their phone unless I ask them to get off of it or tell them to get off of it.
Well, in the teenage years, I mean, that's going to be they're going to be so connected. And I've noticed so many of the younger generation, they're in the phones. You say hi, even if they're walking and they don't hear you because they have the headsets on. So do you believe in that quality time that when you're having meals to say, hey, put down your phone, or what do you feel? How do you feel about that?
I would be lying to say I do that all the time, but I do think that's a really good idea. I think that what I try to do with them is to understand the world they live in. That is the world they live in. And so, like with Ellie, she will be working on her phone and talking to me at the same time. I'm okay with that because she's talking to me. That's her world. That's her world. But the thing about her is if we start talking, she acts without me asking, she will set the phone down and we'll talk. With Joe, it's a little bit different because he likes to watch videos, and I'm actually trying to figure out a way to work with him on that. An idea that would be to ask him what else he likes to do on his phone, and then ask when he's with me, can he do that so we can talk at the same time. But also, another thing I'm working out is that, you know, when I'm taking them back home for the last 20, 25 minutes, whatever, that they get off their phones for that time, and then we can talk. Have to talk. They can go back to listening to the radio or whatever. It's just that we have to be connected. Now, the other thing, though, is that when I'm with them, I don't use my phone. I'm very conscious about that. Even if they're using their phone, I very seldom am on my phone because why would they listen to me if I'm on my phone? So that
makes sense. You have to do as you say, right? You have to preach what you say.
Yeah, yeah.
I know my son being around when all the years of real estate, you know, being on the phone so much, he definitely wants me off the phone when we're at our quality time together.
Yeah,
because it's
right.
Like, oh, you know, here we go again, right? And, it's really amazing.
Well, and when I say phone, I mean, I'm talking about like when they're on the internet and that type of thing or not that they're talking to people. Just that they're on their phone doing all the different apps that you can do on a phone now. That's what they're doing.
Right.
But it is funny when, you know, I was talking to Tori Elliot again, and we were talking about something, and I said something about her friend, and she, I said, well, tell your friend something or other. And she said, okay. Well, she says, and then she came back, she said, okay. I said, what do you mean? She said, oh, I just texted her, and she said to tell you okay. I mean, that's the world that we live in. they don't wait until they see them. They do it right at that moment. Yeah.
It's a different world. Yeah, it is. It's a different world completely.
It really is. Yeah.
That's what. Yeah. What do you think about taking kids back to nature, getting them outside in the nature and all that? Do they? Your children like to do that?
My kids are really into sports, and so that's their nature. And they do. So, yeah,
that's
they're and their mom's pretty good. And their mom's pretty good about taking them skiing and that type of thing. So they get back.
That's
the type of nature. But yeah, but Joe's a hockey player. And Ella used to play hockey. She switched now to water polo. So that's there when they're out and about, and that I think is good to have them involved in something. Yeah, if you can get your kids just involved in something, that's other than that they're thinking about something.
Oh,
else.
It's so important.
So
important.
But you
and outside in the nature in playing sports are going to do it. It's such a so good, so grounding for everybody, right? And there's so many lessons, leadership and. And then still getting out there in nature makes such a difference, doesn't it? I think, and it's because I hear some kids are always on the iPad or the phones and the games and they're never going outside, you know, or getting into sports. And I just think that's kind of I think it's difficult for the kids as they get older. Let me ask you a question. Oh God.
Yeah.
I'm cutting you off. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to ask you a question. Do you think in situations when mother and father are going through a divorce and one is not letting them see their children, the father should file in court, get an attorney, really pursue it, rather than just say, okay, well, I tried, but she wouldn't let me, so I'm just going to move on with my life?
I don't have that experience, but yeah, I think you should go after it and try to get it. The kids should know you're trying.
Right, it's important.
So, they should do that. Yes, you definitely should see them. You should not just walk away, because no, that will not be a good excuse when they turn whatever age it is and they say, why I didn't, and you say, well, I tried but I couldn't. You know, they should know you're fighting.
I agree. That's such a toughie. There's like a the book Dad, If You Died, Would We Have to Tell People? Your daughter, though, she's the one that asked you that, and we were kidding about the credit cards and everything. Do you think she was also thinking she doesn't want her friends to know or anybody to know for a while that my dad's gone, or was that just kind of a joke with her?
It was purely credit cards. She's always working me for money. I mean, she's a thinker, and she's always planning. I mean, she's always one step ahead. She's smarter than I will ever be or ever want to be, probably, because I mean she is sharp. And when she was little, she would go to say something and she would tap her head with her pointing finger. She goes think, because she was too small, or she didn't have the experience to know what words to say, but she knew what she wanted to say. It was very interesting to watch. Yeah, so she's always
watch her go through this.
She's always working me. It's fun. Yeah.
She's got daddy wrapped around her finger. She knows exactly.
Oh,
that's so cool.
Yeah. I can tell you a few stories about that if you want. Yeah, she has me wrapped around her finger.
And she's got your heart.
She has my heart. She always will. Yeah, she always will. Yeah. And then Joe, you're a guy with him. You just be a guy with him.
Oh, really?
That's what he wants. Yeah, yeah.
I love it.
He's pretty tough hockey player. He's a pretty tough kid. He has a very soft heart. And, it's just really, you know, my thought is that you let your kid determine the type of dad you're going to be for them, because they're going to tell you what type of dad they need. And you're going to have to be a different type of dad to each kid.
Yeah, that makes so much sense.
I learned that from my dad. He was a different dad.
I remember I had my son very young, and I was out on my own when I got married and divorced young. But I remember wanting to get – reading the Dr. Spock books to learn about what to do and what not to do as far as schedules. I mean, this is when he was a baby. And then I started reading about different personality types, because I really wanted to make sure that – I was relating, you know, and then, it's amazing to see how unique and beautiful our kids can become, and they really they need the love and they need the support, and it's just wonderful. I'm looking at, let's see, you had a lot of 5-star reviews from Amazon. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Here's one from Alistar M. The quality I admire most in this book is in writing is clarity. As Einstein said, anyone can make things complicated, but it takes a genius to make them simple. I spent many years as a divorced dad, and it can be challenging. There is also a danger of being sentimental. The author avoids all the usual pitfalls to create a book that is warm, honest, funny, and extremely easy to read. He is blessed with terrific kids, and by the time you're done, you'll like them too, and him. In fact, that is perhaps the most striking aspect of this book. In a cynical age where the family as an institution is taking a terrible beating, this book unapologetically is upbeat and kind. Don't get me wrong, it's not ponderous or dour. On the contrary, it's delightful. The kids routinely get off zinging one-liners and cosmic questions like the one which appears in the title. And by the way, Benjamin Todd, you had me at the title. Having a child ask you a question like that can initiate a week of soul searching. The perfect Father's Day gift. This is great.
Thank you.
I love it.
I am very proud of the book. I mean, I really am, and I worked very hard but it's, you know, being a dad's a big deal, and you need to take it as a job. You need to be serious with it, and. I guess you don't need to do anything, but that's what I hope people want to do. And I really
it's
think that
it's more important than a profession, isn't it? Yeah, I think it's more important than
a profession. Oh, it is.
When people go through work and professions.
Yeah. There is a something that, you know, where people say, what do you do? And instead of saying, you know, your job, you say what you really are doing. And right now I'm a dad. And that is, I'm a dad. That's what I am. And, you know, I mean, she calls me up and she needs something and she gets it. I mean, I don't mean I just give her things. What I mean is if she needs my time, she has it. I thought she wanted to go with a friend, to the first showing of some movie. And that meant that she needed somebody to be waiting for her from midnight to 3:00. And I did that. And that may sound like a big deal. But, you know,
that's,
I mean, to her, she, you know, she got to see the movie. She was with a friend she really liked. I mean, it worked out really well. And and then she said to me, she said, you know, I know that you wouldn't have to do these things for me, and you do. So she understood.
And
so
that's
as long
wonderful.
As she understands. Yeah. No, she does get it. She does get it. She wrote a little story about me one that was very touching. So, yeah, it's good.
She did, and what, she wrote a story and gave it to you, or gave it to at school, or
she
what?
She wrote a story and gave it to me, yeah. And it was about they found a box, and the box said, "Who's the beast?" So they went around looking for the beast, and then when they came back, their mom read it. She said, "No, it's who's the best," and so they end up in my front door saying, "You must be the best."
I love it.
Yeah. So it was really a cool story. Really cool story. And I have it, you know, and I'll treasure it a whole bit. And since she writes me notes every so often, she gives me gifts So, and then, you know, it's just, you know, that's the way she is. That's the way I'm with her. And then with Joe, I'm just a guy with him. It's just really funny.
He loves you being dad, the guy. My dad's a guy.
He loves me being dad,
likes
the guy.
Him.
Yeah.
That's
what he likes. He doesn't like to talk a whole lot. But, you know, if I ask him something, he'll answer it in one or two words. And that's what he does. He just answers one or two words. And see, my thing is that for a while I was trying to get him to answer more. And then I kind of realized that this is who he is. And I have to respect that. So I can't, if I make him become something for me that he's not, then he's going to resent it. And it's not going to go well. But if I, so that's why I really think that as a parent, and I don't mean to be like another thing about parenting, but I really think as a parent, you need to, and I'm saying this, I said this a little bit earlier, you really need to listen to who they are and be the parent they need.
Absolutely. I totally agree. To let them follow their hearts because each one of us has, you know, our dreams inside, and each one of us different. We have different talents, and it's really great that you as a dad are pushing their talents and working with them on that, because it's so important. And it never ends, no matter how old they are. My son and I are so close. We talk every day.
And
I see him quite a bit. I really enjoy that. It doesn't matter how old, you know, that close relationship that, you know who's got your back, you know who you can depend on. It's so important they follow their dreams. All of us, you know, I think my son, he got into real estate. He still has licenses, but he's not interested in the real estate. And I don't blame him. You know, he's in spinal research, and it's just kind of one of those things where, I've always pushed him to be himself and follow his dreams. Don't just do something because I'm in it or the family business, you know.
That is great.
Their book, I tell you, is so inspiring and well-written, and you have over 100 stories. In the book.
Yeah, 100, close to 175, I think, and it's all conversations, it's all, you know, like little one-liners by Joe, or things that Tori and I argue about, the one story that they were just pestering me in the car, Tori would just, or Ellie, she just would not leave, she just wouldn't quit pestering me, so... They went into the store together, and when they came out of the store, I started jumping up and down. I yelled, "Ellie!"
Oh, and you were embarrassed.
Waving my arms and just, you know, everything. And she was, you know, she looked at me for a second and she couldn't believe it. And then she took Joe, and walked in the opposite direction, and she made a big U-turn and came around so behind the car. And she came up, and the thing I liked about it was that she was irritated, but she was smiling because she saw what was funny about it. But she was I really appreciate about her. Yeah,
she sticks on her feet right away. Right, that's so cute. Like, you're not going to embarrass me. Let's go. Let's get out of here.
That's right.
Stop him.
She grabbed him, and they were gone. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Here's another. It says there's one. Ellie, I want you to take. No, and Ellie says to you, I want you to. Oh, Ellie, I want you to take the referee class. You need to talk to my people. And what? Talk to my people. And Joe says, I am her people. How may I help you? They're both there. And then Joe to Ellie repeating, oh, that's okay. Yeah, Joe to me. Yes, we are good at that. What happened with that one? That's really adorable.
Oh, that actually is one of my favorite stories, is that we were sitting in a restaurant and, you know, just to go through what you just said, but what was funny about it was that Joe just all of a sudden just looked at me and said, yeah, just like an attorney or whatever, he just looked at me and said, yeah, I'm her people. Talk to me. I mean, they hadn't talked about it before, whatever. He just picked up on it right away, and then she just sat there while he talked, you know, while we went through the conversation.
I love it.
Yeah, I said it to him. He said it to her. I mean, it was just hilarious. Yeah, that was funny. Yeah. But, you know, the one thing I would say is I wouldn't remember these stories if I didn't write them down. So if you are a dad or a mom and you're just having a baby, just start writing the stories. Just write.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Because I go back and I read these stories, and it reminds me, but I wouldn't remember the stuff if it wasn't for the stories.
That's a really good point. And you said you were doing it on Facebook to tell people about it, right? And then they started compiling it. That makes a lot of sense. Journaling is such a good thing to do, right? And so many of us get away from that.
Right. It actually is a good thing to do. And we do get away from that. And the thing I've figured out with my kids as they get older, it's more situational things that happen than conversations. And that's more interesting to look at. Like, you have, they're with their friends and they're doing this and that. And it's not necessarily that you're talking to them, but it's just kind of funny how things come about. I mean,
right.
I took my kids, Ellie wanted to spend the day at the beach. So their mom went in the morning and they wanted to have a pit, so you have to go early and save a pit to get a pit, fire pit for when you can make food tonight. And so their mom went early in the morning, because you have to be there at 7 in the morning, and then I went over when I got done with something. And so between their mom and me, we sat there all day till Ellie could get there at 3, and then her friends, and I went and sat in the car while she was with her friends. And the neat thing was that, you know, somebody came over and said, did you and your wife do that for them, for your daughter? And I said, well, she's my wife, but yeah, we did do that. And so that was, you know, things like that, you know, you can do even if you're divorced.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do that if you want to. You can choose to do that. It's up to you. It's really up to you. Or you can act mad. I mean, it's however you want to do.
I ran into somebody the other day who I don't know, but I ran into it. I was at a restaurant, and he said he had just moved from Florida to be up with his kids because he was married to his wife in Florida, and then she decided to get divorced and go back home with her family. Mm-hmm. And he said he couldn't stand to be away from his kids, so he looked for work, and their parents.
Nothing. I'm sorry. I lost. I can't hear you. There.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I don't know
okay.
What happened
there. Okay. I don't know what happened. Maybe it went out. But I was talking about running into somebody in a restaurant that said.
It's going out again, Nathany. I'm not sure what's going on here. I'm sorry. Hang on just a second. I will. I can't hear you, but I will call back in as soon as I get the number. I apologize. Give me just a minute.
Hello. Hi, I'm back in. We had a problem with the line, so I'm back in. So I hope you call right back in, Tim, because the line cut off. It was just technology. But then you can call right back in, and we'll be all connected. We will be right back.
We're excited to be able to continue to bring to the world stage a company as dedicated to universal excellence as Realty Universal, Inc. On the surface, our company has been initiating a revolution in the real estate world since 1996. We started offering our menu programs when it was not the standard way of doing business. Now it is so much more understood and commonplace, although we are still ahead of the rest due to experience within the systems. In today's economy, our menu programs make it possible for buyers and sellers to still have a win-win situation. The best situation in life is when everyone wins. Everyone must give in to assist in the outcome, and what happens is very positive experience. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe that sellers and buyers should have choices. As obvious as this seems, traditional real estate has never been structured in such a way as to allow the multitude of choices sellers and buyers truly deserve. After years of perfecting and receiving feedback on our programs, we have developed real estate menu systems that are used by buyers, sellers, and agents and brokers who are part of our Realty Universal network, which is growing by leaps and bounds.
Can you call right back? We're just having technical difficulty. I'll put a commercial in. Okay, now it should. It should let you through now. You have to hit press 1 or something. You have to press 1 or whatever. Okay, thanks. Thanks. Bye. We We are coming right back. We're just having a little bit of technical difficulty. We're putting a commercial in, and we'll be right back.
Real estate is still a solid investment to invest in if you are in for the long haul. It can also be one of the best investments of your capital if handled correctly. In the United States, we are fortunate to have the tax write-offs that we take for granted while owning property. To obtain the best value for your real estate, there needs to be a market of both buyers and sellers, as well as a means of bringing the two together. Now more than ever, due to the recent loan crisis, even with bringing buyers and sellers together, there needs to be a way to make the financing work if a loan is needed. Real estate is still a solid investment to invest in if you are in for the long haul. It can also.
We are back. I really apologize. We had some technical difficulty, and that's what happens with the internet, huh? It's great, but not always perfect. So, Tim, are you in? Can you hear me?
I'm in. Can you hear me okay?
Now I can hear you just fine. Yeah, that happens sometimes,
okay,
the technical difficulty.
Okay.
So we're good.
Okay.
We're almost to the end of the show. We've got about 10 minutes left. You have been amazing. I'm so glad to have you on. And the story you were talking about was with your daughter and going back and forth, and then I mentioned somebody moving out of state to the north to be near their children. I plugged a commercial in when it cut off there for a little bit, plugged a couple in. I remember my son. I was in real estate very young, and he was 6 years old. I started sponsoring the baseball teams, and in baseball through high school. And I would go and go to the games, but then I had a lot of deals at that time where I'd have to take off and go to a game, and then sometimes we'd have two rainouts, and I'd say, honey, I'm not going to be at the next game because this was back when in the days where I was going in and out of a lot of, listing appointments. Remember telling him, I would say, Kenny, you know what? I want to coach. I want to go coach. Let me coach. And he's like, Mom, you don't know anything about coaching. I'm like, I'll just go to the library and I'll get books. Of course, this is pre-internet. I'll just go books and I'll learn. Oh, Mom, please don't coach. Please don't do that to me. So I said, okay, I'll just bribe the kids with pizza. So what I would do is, go to the games and then I'd come on, you're going to win. I'll buy you a bunch of pizza, So that was, we think about those stories and those fun times, right? It's fun.
Oh, yeah.
It goes by fast.
Yeah, I mean, if you're just starting out with kids, I'd recommend don't worry about anything else. Just worry about your kids. They'll give you the enjoyment you need for the years. And I gave up. I mean, the people would say I sacrifice a lot because I live away from my family, away from my friends and all that. And, if you look at it like that, the definition of sacrifice, I would have sacrificed. But there's no way I'd be giving up what I have with my kids right now. I mean, they're just
But they're your family.
They're
your family, and you can always travel to see your other family too, right? And use FaceTime and internet and the phone, and then just make schedules to go travel and see them here and there, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really important to my hat's off to you. You've been amazing dad. And that's so important because so many times people do disappear and they don't the kids don't see the fathers or the mothers, which is not good.
It was just a decision. I mean, I appreciate you saying I'm an amazing dad. I mean, I don't know if I really am, but I appreciate that. But it's just a decision. If you want to do it, you do it. And then you put them first. And don't let the divorce get in the way. And again, really, I felt so bad when I moved out of the house. I mean, just incredibly, incredibly bad. And to think where I'm at now with them, I wouldn't believe that was possible. And I would assume that if you are in a situation where you just have been asked to leave or whatever, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. And that's what I want to tell people. That's the message. It will be okay. And so get that and then just really work out it to make it better. That's the whole thing.
Just know, that today's another day, right? Even this is when they talk about take one day at a time. This too shall pass.
Right.
I noted there was another one. Doug W. said, honest, often humorous, heartfelt stories of an awesome Christian father raising, relating to and mentoring his children. Great book. Being a Christian dad, it's really amazing how the Bible, though, and all that does help us, right, learning how to be good parents and how to instill certain traits and confidence into our children, because they really do look to us for guidance, you know, between us and school. And when they're little, who do they have, right? They have us, they have school, they have the world. Yeah.
They're watching all the time. I mean, they really are. When you're with them up to a certain age, I mean, they're looking to you to know what to say, to know what to do. So whatever you say, whatever you do, that's what they're going to do. And you're going to hear the words. You're going to hear the words out of your mouth coming out of their mouth. So that's, you know, that's why I'm trying to be careful with the words coming out of my mouth, because I'm going to hear them back. And, yeah. But, yeah, the Bible. The whole thing about being a Christian dad, I mean, both my kids are baptized. I actually baptized Joe myself, and then Tori was baptized. Yeah, and I just couldn't. He was, he was really, really, really busy. He told me he wanted to be baptized, but he was really, really busy. He just couldn't. And I called the church, and they were just too busy. And, I mean, you know, the schedules just didn't mesh. So Tori and I went to a pool, and she went in the water with him, and I asked him two questions. I said, Joe, do you promise that to always love Jesus? And he said, yes. I said, do you promise that whenever anybody asks you whether you love Jesus, that you will say yes? And he said, yes. And Tori flipped him down, brought him up, and that was it. And,
that's amazing.
Yeah. And because if a kid asks you to be, if they want baptized, I think you want to get baptized. And I checked, you know, with everybody, you know, am I qualified?
To make sure you could do it. Yeah, because we're all allowed to do that.
Yeah,
you know,
as long as you're Christian yourself.
Yeah. I was baptized Catholic, and then I've been going to non-denominational churches, and I just did the dunking. I call it being dunked last June. I did it.
Really?
I was baptized as a baby Catholic, you know, with the holy water. And then, yeah, I did the dunking in front of 300 and some people at the church and gave my testimony, and it was awesome. They said, you know, John the Baptist, you can baptize like you did. You did it. That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's accepting him in your heart.
It's special, you know, probably meant as much to me as it did to him. And I always think that God must have been smiling that day, because it was a pretty fun day. It was a pretty cool day. So, yeah.
A pretty cool day. Oh, yeah. God sees it all.
Yeah.
That is so cool. So you're listening to Tim Martin, who wrote, Dad, if you died, would we have to tell people? He's a wonderful father of two children, and there's lots and lots of stories in the book. Benjamin Lee Todd is the book in the book, and that's is the... you can look it up under
pen
Benjamin
name.
Lee Top, right? Yeah, pen name is great.
Yep.
Such a great idea to do that. And,
thank you.
So many do. So, well, we are at the end, and I want to thank you so much for coming on today. And it's been interesting. I'm looking forward to that. And I'm looking forward to all the lives you're going to be touching, too, and that you have touched with, especially helping divorced dads who are on a journey and need that push and that need to be able to get to the next step and keep going, putting when they may be at that point where they can barely put one foot in front of the other, right? And they just need to keep going,
yeah,
and it's all going to be fine.
And I was there, and you will be fine, yeah. And, sometime you should have me back on and talk about dating as a divorced dad. That's a whole different story there, but, you know.
Wow, we need to do that, because that dating thing is really tough. I'm not all those internet sites now are kind of scary. I think they're like really scary. Yeah, scary. I don't know. That's kind of a whole.
I didn't mean to say chubby chubby. That's just one. That's just one of my experiences. That's really funny. But yeah, I really want to help dads. I mean, and if you go BenjaminLeeTodd@gmail.com, if you send me an email, I will respond, and I'll call you, whatever, however I can help you, I'll be happy to do it. So just Benjamin Lee Todd, gmail.com. Just let me know. Yeah.
And we'll definitely have you back too. Absolutely. This was great.
Yeah.
To everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter @RealtyUniversal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.